Thank you for listening to the Rivers Church podcast with Pastor Andre and the Rivers team. Be sure to subscribe for a weekly dose of encouragement and inspiration to help your daily life. We pray that this message will help in whatever season of life you might be in.
You know, this week we were driving some of the team. We were doing a shoot for the Sisters of Africa magazine. And we drove past a route that I'd driven before. And the reason I remembered was it was stuck in my mind. It was a wedding venue. And on the way to the wedding venue, we were taking two of our friends. And I did. You see, I'm a millennial, so that means I don't actually know how a map works. If it wasn't for Waze, I wouldn't leave the 5 kilometer radius of my house. Anybody else? Now, wedding venues are typically not within 5 kilometers of anybody's house. So I put it in Waze. And when I put it in, it popped up with the route, the recommended route. But this route was longer than the shorter route. Now, I have a problem with time management at times. I know, not just me judging by the nudges that were happening. And I remember, you know, you have these, defining moments in life. You learn things and you won't forget the lessons that you've learned. And I said, I want to go on the shortest route because it's quicker. Now, at the time, my wife and I, we had a Mini. The reason I'm telling you that is Minis are great cars. They're very small, very punchy, and very low, which is great for in the city. Now, when the city ends, I can throw a tantrum. My wife will attest this. If I didn't have people in the car, I would have turned around, I would have went back home. But the particular route that we went took us on a dirt road. 4 people in a Mini Cooper. I was praying in tongues. I was getting frustrated. But I learned a valuable lesson that day, that sometimes the shorter route isn't always the best route. And sometimes in life, the long way is the right way because it's God's way. And if God is taking us on the longer route, we need to keep trusting Him. And I think there's many people here today who you're standing here trusting God for your finances, for relationship, through a health challenge, through the process of mourning the loss of someone. And as you stand here today, you think, man, I thought I'd be better. Maybe you just thought as a person you'd be better by April in 2024. Firstly, you can't believe that it is already April. In 2024. Sorry, halfway through April in 2024. But you thought you'd be better. But here's the thing is that you might be saying, you know, what's the point? It's never going to happen. God's done. I'm here to tell you that God's not done. It's not over until God says it's done. And God still has more. God wants us to step into the more that He has for us. Because God is not the God who serves things on demand. I had a young person come up to me the other day and was like, Chris, bro. It's like, thanks, bro. I'm young at heart. And he said, Netflix is doing this new thing where they show the episode, but they release an episode every week. I said, my brother, bro, that's not new. That's television. You see, there's a whole generation that doesn't know what it's like to plan your social life around the TV shows that you watch. Because there was no DVDs, there was no on-demand, there was no streaming services. If you missed Carte Blanche, if you missed Dragon Ball Z, whatever it is that you watched, if you missed it, God was done. It was finished, and this was the end. But I think as we go through life, this can begin to become how we approach God. God, you need to be the God that's on demand. If it's not instant, it's not right. But the God that we serve, that's not how God works in our relationships, in our careers, in our finances. The God we serve is the God of process. And as we process with God, we make progress with God. And sometimes it's slow progress. But God is in the slow progress. In fact, In Exodus 23, it says this, little by little, I will drive them out before you. This is Israel about to step into the promised land. And here's the thing. We think that the miraculous happens like this. And sometimes it does, but more often than not, like Simi said, you have to bring what you have. And little by little, God will begin to do something in your life and in your situation and in your circumstance. And though the progress is slow, slow progress is still progress. And that's the title of your message today. Slow progress is still progress. Turn to the person next to you and say, it may be slow, but it's still progress. And today we're going to take a look at the Israelites and explain, or look at the story of the Israelites and understand the principle that God takes them. And what you've got to understand, even with the Israelites, there were some things that they did that made their journey slower. They were about to enter the promised land. They send in spies, and instead of listening to God, they listened to a bad report. And when they listened to the bad report, they stepped away from what God had, and they stepped into delay. Those are not the kind of delays that I'm speaking about today. If that is you, figure out what is stopping you from stepping into the purpose, the plans, and the future that God has for you, and deal with it now. Don't wait till later. But what happens when the journey that we're on, God is actually taking us on this journey? You see, the Israelites, they were slaves for 400 years. Then God raises up a savior by the name of Moses. He was a baby. They put him in a little basket because they were killing all the Israelite babies. And out of all the houses to go to, he ends up at Pharaoh's house. Pharaoh was the guy killing all the babies. Only God. He grows up in Pharaoh's house, and then he accidentally kills someone. Now, the reason I say accidentally is when you watch the movie The Prince of Egypt, he makes it look like an accident, right? Now, when you read the Bible says Moses looked left, and he looked right, and then he struck the Egyptian. Now, I've never killed anybody in my life. But I have looked left, and I have looked right. And there's definitely intent on the other end of that. So Moses ends up going to the backside of the wilderness, but God uses Moses, despite his failures, to raise Israel out of slavery. There's 10 plagues. You can watch it in the movie The Prince of Egypt, like I said, but the book is better. The book of Exodus. In fact, you know, read the whole Bible just to cover all your bases. Good book. And in the story, as they leave Egypt, they end up in the wilderness. And what they're doing is they're heading towards God's promised land. And God frees them through Moses. And just as they leave Egypt, here's what happens. God makes this statement in Exodus 13. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistine. Although that was near, that would have been the short route on ways. For God said, lest the people change their mind when they see war and return to Egypt. But God led the people around by the way of the wilderness towards the Red Sea. And the people of Israel went up out of the land of Egypt equipped for battle. You see, Egypt received their redemption. They were free from slavery, and now they were led by God. Just like you and I as Christians, we were slaves to sin. We have been redeemed by Christ, and now we are led by God on this journey called life. But sometimes the progress is slow. It doesn't mean that God's not in it, because God is doing something bigger. So your first point today is when the progress is slow, God is preparing. And if God is preparing, it's bigger than we can imagine. God's got more for us, and we've got to trust Him through the process. But God is preparing us and what is inside of us for what He has for us. You see, the longer journey is actually God's process. You see, preparation leads to process, and process leads to progress. I think sometimes we want progress without going through the process that God has for you and I. But actually, we need to go through the process. I love what the Bible says. You know, they may see war, and they might get scared. Or they might face war, and they might change their mind. But then at the end of the scripture that we read, it's interesting. It says, they left Egypt ready for battle. I think many of us are equipped but not prepared, just like the Israelites. You see, they were equipped to fight, but they weren't prepared for war. And I wonder how many of us as Christians are living a life of Christianity equipped but not prepared for the plans, the purpose, the future, and all that God has for you and I. And often the slow progress of the journey is God taking us from equipped to prepared. Because God journeys with us in the preparation. And when he does, it brings something out of us because there's more in us. And when God, and when we said yes to Jesus, did you know that as a Christian, we were equipped with the Holy Spirit, the church, God's word, prayer, God's love. In fact, 2 Timothy puts it this way. All scripture is God's breath and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness so that the servant of God, that's me and that's you, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You don't have to earn your equipping. You are just equipped. But as we walk with him, we go from equipped to effective because equipped is not enough. God begins to prepare something in us, prepare our lives through the journey that he takes with you and I. You see, God develops what we're equipped with. God wants us to be a people who have a perseverance. But unfortunately, perseverance comes through suffering. God wants us to have character, but character comes through trials. And character is important because many of us have a calling, but our character won't be able to carry the calling that God has for us. You see, God gives you the calling, you need to activate it. I remember once I was traveling to with church to a conference, and we were going overseas, and we were all getting ready to go on the plane, and our worship pastor, with her wisdom, said to me, "Have you activated your roaming?" I have pride issues. I said, I don't need to activate my roaming. My contract has an international data bundle on it already. I remember getting to our destination, and I had to phone my wife on the Wi-Fi because I might have had the package, but I didn't activate the roaming. And there's many Christians, you have the package, but you haven't activated the calling of God in your life. And you activate that through the character that God has through us. You know, Christ wants us to have faith, but faith comes through challenges. You prove your faith. You refine your faith through the challenges that we face. And endurance comes in the waiting. That's the journey that God takes us on because Christianity is an endurance race, not a race for results. It's not where you finish the race. It's that you finish the race in a manner worthy of God. And we don't need to stop at what we have, which is equipped, but let God develop what is inside of us through process. Because the reason that we need to do that is because God knows us better than us. Well, I said to the first service, you see, I'm willing to lie to myself. God can't lie to you about you. And God was right about the Israelites. Like I said, he said, if they see war, or they're not prepared for it, they want to turn back and they want to go back to Egypt. In the very next chapter, God was right. The Israelites see Egypt coming after them. So whilst they're heading in the wilderness, Pharaoh changes his mind again. It's a common pattern. And he chases off the Israelites. Maybe, I don't know why, maybe he thought, we've got our pyramids, we lost our slaves, all we've got is some cotton. Good for bedding. But they chase them. And they come after them. And when Israel sees them, look at what it says. Look at what their response is. Is it not what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. Basically, God said they see war, they want to go back. Guess what they wanted to do? They wanted to go back. And they complained about going back. You see, God knew them better than they knew themselves. And God knows us better than we know ourselves. And when we go on this progress or this journey with God, what God is doing is answering questions we need to ask ourselves. So when the journey is slow, what you need to say is, God, what is it that you know about me that I don't know about myself? Because I'm willing to bet that we need to develop a little bit of self-awareness when it comes to God so that God can begin to strengthen us, strengthen our character. You see, there's a scripture that says, you know, God is strength in my weakness. But you need to know what your weakness is in order for God to be the strength. even though they were equipped, they still wanted to go back. Equipped is not enough. God is preparing something in us. It requires endurance and perseverance. We can't develop it if we just get it. That's why fruit is cultivated. You don't just get it. God is developing fruit inside of us so that it is cultivated, and we need to learn to trust Him and let Him lead. Because He is releasing something, and that's your second point. God is releasing. When the journey is slow, God is preparing. God is releasing as well. I think our misconception is that when the journey takes slow, when it doesn't go our way, God's punishing us, or we've done something wrong. See, like I said, I grew up in the 90s and early 2000s. You think horror movies were scary? Christian fiction freaked me out. You want a proper scare? Read Left Behind. I lived in constant fear that the rapture was going to happen. Into my 20s. Maybe even 30s. You laugh. And one day my wife had got home and she had another event to get to. So she changed quickly and she dropped the clothes on the floor. So I walked in, opened the door, saw the clothes like it's happened. I got left behind. Tried calling her, she didn't answer. She's in heaven. Went to the office once and nobody was there. I'm like, that's it. But sometimes the reason that God is delaying is not because we've done anything wrong, but it's because God is doing something in His process. And just because we can't see it, just because you don't feel it, it doesn't mean that God's not working and God's not moving. Because while the Israelites were slaves, God was working and moving. You see, like I said, Israel were slaves. They cried out to God. Moses was at the back end of the desert being a shepherd. He killed a guy accidentally, remember? And then he went into hiding for 40 years. But when he's in the desert, God is speaking to him. And he says this to Moses. He says, then the Lord said, I have seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cries because of their taskmasters. I know their suffering, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. God sees the hurt and the pain. God hears the tears that you cry, and God knows what it is you're going through. But God is coming down. In fact, God is already working even when you don't see it and when you don't feel it, because just because it doesn't, there's no evidence, it doesn't mean God's not doing it. And I love the fact that God was already working. And sometimes in the delay and when the progress is slow, you need to trust God. But I do want to say this is, be careful what you call a delay. Because sometimes that delay is actually God's plan. Especially when it doesn't line up with our timeline. Because we need to remember that He is God and we're not God. He knows best and we don't know best. His ways are higher. His thoughts are deeper. And because He is God, we need to learn to trust Him on the journey, even when it doesn't make sense. Because He works all things together for good. And He did that for the Israelites. Like I said, 400 years in slavery, then 40 years waiting for Moses to deal with his own issues. Seriously, read it. Like, it's fun. But then Moses gets to Egypt. He says to Pharaoh, let my people go. Pharaoh says, cool, I'm going to double their workload. Okay. And then it takes 10 more plagues. Here's my question. You've been waiting for like 400 years for this. Maybe like one or two plagues, God. Just shake them up a little bit. Rah. And then let us go. But there's purpose promised behind the scenes. Because when God and Moses are having this conversation, God actually tells Moses, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart. Not only will I harden Pharaoh's heart, He's not going to give you favor, but I'm going to cause Him to give you favor, and you will not leave Egypt empty-handed. In fact, it goes on to say this in Exodus 3:22, God speaking to Moses, you shall plunder the Egyptians. Now, what happens is there's 10 plagues that happen, starting with turning the water into blood, ending with the death of the firstborn. Now, after the last plague, the Bible says that Egypt was scared. There was an urgency for Israel to leave because they said, if they don't leave, we'll all die. So when Israel leave Egypt, it says this in Exodus 12, and the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians so that they let them have what they had asked for. Thus, they plundered the Egyptians. Now, I don't know that they would have got that plunder if there was only one plague, because they might have been a little bit scared of God, but they were willing to let him go. But 10 plagues in, the fear of God was in both Israel and the Egyptians. And because of those 10 plagues and the slow process that got them there, not only did they leave, not only did they get their freedom, but they didn't leave empty-handed. God gave them the and more in their life. And God is doing the same for you and I. I think sometimes we try to rush the process because the process feels slow. God, it was of my understanding that it'd be done by now. God's like, huh? God, it's of my understanding that I wouldn't be single anymore. Now, I'm not threatening you, but I might download that app. I'm in Instagram. I don't know why you're laughing. Hashtag don't swipe right. God, I thought that I'd be further ahead. You know, I'm trying to do business God's way, but I might just do it the other way. But the Bible says that it's not about your understanding. In fact, Proverbs says, lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and in all your ways trust God. We need to learn to keep trusting God even when we don't understand it, even when it doesn't make sense, because God is doing something so much more. He's releasing something in our lives, even when we don't feel it, even when we can't see it. And that's why your third point is this: dead ends aren't the end. Now, I don't know what your dead end looks like today, but I do know it's not the end. You see, let's just go back to the scripture. So Israel, they've left Egypt now, 10 plagues in, plundered them, they're heading on the journey, God is leading them, and they're walking slowly. There's a lot of them. The Bible says 600,000, but most scholars believe that's just the men. They say it could have been anywhere up to about 2 million people. I've got a big family. We're going on a big family holiday. We wander sometimes, and it takes longer than it needs to take. I remember the one time I was with a family member, and they're like, we're in a shopping mall, and there's like a whole family, and they'd stopped, and they're discussing something like, who does that? I'm like, we do that. That's us. We sometimes take long. But you can imagine them wandering. And their progress is slow, but slow progress is still progress. But their progress was slow. It seemed slow to them, and it also seemed slow to other people. In fact, God says that Pharaoh will notice the fact that Israel is wandering. Exodus 14, verse 3, God speaking. For Pharaoh will say of the people of Israel, they are wandering in the land, the wilderness has shut them in. And then Pharaoh, like I said, ends up pursuing them. Israel threw the tantrum. It's better for us to have died back then. But I just want to take three quick observations from the scripture. And the first is this. It's that even when it seems like we're shut in, God knows. God's not caught by surprise. He's not unaware. He's like, how did you get there? I don't know how we're going to get out of this one. You're on your own, buddy. God sees. God knows. God's coming down. Here's the second thing, though. People are always watching. The Bible says Pharaoh was watching the Israelites. Now, he didn't have Google Earth where he could just, or location tracking. He would have had to send somebody out to find them and then go back. People are always watching us. Sometimes to attack us, sometimes to stand with us, sometimes to support us, but they are always watching us. Hey, you're a Christian, you've got your dead end, how do you respond to the circumstance? And not always because they want you to prove them wrong. Sometimes they're desperate for you to prove them right, that actually there's a better way to live, there's a different way to live. And I think it's a surprising truth because it tells me that somebody else's breakthrough is in the other end of our response. And how we respond could build somebody else's faith, could push someone towards Jesus, could get them out of their situation and their circumstance. The life we live is so much bigger than you and I. It's bigger than ourselves. It's God's purpose and God's plan that is first and foremost. But here's the third thing, my favorite thing. Sometimes where God leads us, it doesn't make sense. Now, I could love to tell you that Israel got here of their own accord, but they didn't. The Bible says God led them the long way around, through the wilderness. And where did he lead them? Not only did he lead them through the wilderness, not only did it take long, but he led them to a dead end. It didn't make sense to them. And maybe in your situation right now, you can so relate. I've been following God. I've been faithful to God. And all that it's done is it's led me to this dead end. It's led me to this place where I can't seem to move forward. How do I move past this? But God knows, God sees, and God hears. And I think what's important to remember is it's not our responsibility to understand, but it's our responsibility to follow him. Because if it made sense, why would you need God in the first place? And sometimes God gets us down to a point where we don't know what to do anymore, because then we finally give him control of our lives. We say, God, you be God, because I'm not God. I'm not going to make my prayers about what you can do for me. My prayer life is going to be about what I can do for you, God. How I can build your kingdom and how you can build my empire. You see, it's not just Israel, though. There are many people in the Bible where God led and it didn't make sense. Just ask Daniel. God led him to an Airbnb at a lion's den. His friends went to a lovely spa day called the Fiery Furnace in a sauna. Joseph in the Old Testament had many dreams, but all those dreams led to many pits and prisons and false accusations. Abraham, at the ripe old age of 75, went on a trip with no destination. By the way, that tells me something. That tells me you're never too old for God to use you, to still have purpose for your life, to still turn your life around for God. The disciples, following Christ, led them to a storm many times. And Jesus, following God, led him to the cross. The purpose is this, the point is this, is that when we follow God and we let God lead, it'll take us to places that we don't fully understand. But understanding is not our responsibility. And we need to stop looking for the how and the why we got here and start looking for the where is God in this situation. Because some situations, it's not about getting out. Lions' dens don't have exits. Saunas don't have a return policy. Sometimes it's not about getting out, but it's about getting through. And sometimes the only way to get through something is to get into it. Just like Moses and the Israelites, the only way to go through was to go in the sea. Your next point is this, is we need to learn to move forward. Like I said, after Israel throw the tantrum, Moses says, I've got it, guys. We can do this. And he says this super encouraging. I mean, picture this. You've got the army behind you. Israel's complaining. And then Moses, calm as you like, I've got this. And he says, the Lord will fight for you, and you have only be silent. Then the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Now, if I was Moses, my God, not now. Please, not now. No, God, in front of the people, they're looking to me and like, come on. But the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward. And what God said to them, God's saying to you today, you need to go forward. You need to move forward. You need to keep taking a step towards God and his direction and according to his word and his will. It goes on to say this, lift up your staff, stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it that the people of Israel may go through the sea on dry ground. God's saying the same to you and I today. We need to take that step in God's direction. We need to go according to his promises. Even when it takes long and it's slow, as long as we are heading in the direction of God and his word, we are going in the right direction. And when we need to keep moving forward, we don't stop, we don't look back. Even if there's an army behind us and a sea in front of us, we move forward because even if it seems impossible, God will part the sea so we can pass through. But I kind of want to focus on Moses now, because this is a big deal. Because it's been a bit rocky for Moses, if we're being honest. Let's just take stock. He goes to free the people of Israel, then they get more work. He says, no, don't worry about this. We're going to get there. Plague 1, 2, and 3. Okay, maybe, you know, Trinity, 3 plagues, get it. It's biblical. Plague 4, 5, and 6. Ooh. So by the time they get to the 10th plague, the people are kind of like, okay, it took you a while. But then they get their freedom and they get their plunder. Like, this is great. Then after leading them out, they end up at a dead end with an ocean in front of them. It's not great for Moses. But I love the instruction that God gives to Moses. He says, lift up your staff. He had a shepherding staff with him. Stretch out your hand over the sea. Why I love this is because it's not the first time you hear this instruction given to Moses. We have to jump back because God is always preparing something. God is always releasing something. And if we are following God, God is protecting us. But in the first plague, God turns the water in Egypt into blood. I prefer the New Testament where God turned water into wine, but let's go with it. Exodus 7, verse 19. And the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, take your staff and stretch out your hands over the waters of Egypt. You see, Moses standing there, where he didn't know then is God had been preparing him for a very, very long time. And he didn't realize it, and the progress was slower than he even realized, but the preparation was there. God was releasing something inside of him because it wasn't the first time he had to do this. And there are some battles that you're facing now. If you actually stop and think about it, actually, I fought this battle before. It might have looked a little bit different. I didn't have the confidence that I have now. I don't have the faith that I have now. But God has done something in my life and has prepared me for this moment. Even before the first plague, God was preparing Moses. Because God says, lift up your staff. Now, when he was the son of Pharaoh, he didn't have a staff. But when he did the accidental murder, he ended up in the wilderness for 40 years, in fact. And he became a shepherd. And the staff that he had was a shepherding staff. Weird, right? It was to identify his job. But when God calls him, it's going to come up on the screen behind you. When God calls him in Exodus, look at what he says. God says to him, what is that in your hand? He says, a staff. Moses didn't get promoted and said, I'm Adi. Drop the staff. I'm above that line. I don't need shepherding. I don't need sheep anymore. Give me the people. No. He kept the staff. Why? Because he wouldn't have had that staff if he wasn't a shepherd. And the principle is this, is God never wastes a season. God is always going to use what it is you've been through, whether it was his plan or our mistake, in order to do something in our life. And what you thought was a failure is going to become a tool to give you the victory that God has called you to have. D.L. Moody puts it this way, Moses spent 40 years thinking he was somebody, 40 years learning he was nobody, and 40 years discovering what God can do with a nobody. And like us, God is, like Moses, God is preparing us. God is bringing something out of us. And it wasn't a dead end for him, and it's not a dead end for us. Because what is in our hand, the staff that Moses has, what is in your hand is everything you need to move forward and to step into the promises, to step into the impossible, to step into the and more that God has for you, because he's not done with us yet.
We hope you have been blessed and inspired by this message.